Live from the campus of the Milwaukee Area Technical College and the studios of Milwaukee Public Television, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation presents a statewide broadcast debate between the leading candidates in the 2012 U.S. Senate election. And now, the president of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation, John Lau.
Good evening. Wisconsin's radio and television broadcasters are pleased this evening to be able to continue our public affairs broadcast tradition begun in 1990, sponsoring widely broadcast debates in major Wisconsin political campaigns. This evening's debate will be broadcast on over 80 Wisconsin radio and television stations and nationwide on C-SPAN and the World Channel. This evening's debate will engage the two leading candidates for the 2012 U.S. Senate election in their first face-to-face debate. Former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson and 2nd District Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. This evening's debate is made possible in part through generous grants from the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities, WPS Health Insurance, and AARP Wisconsin. And now on their behalf, Mr. Rolf Wigenke, Mr. Jim Reardon, and Mr. Sam Wilson.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jim Reardon from WPS Health Insurance, and these are my friends Rolf Wigenke from the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities and Sam Wilson, State Director of AARP.
Along with WPS and AARP Wisconsin, Wisconsin's 23 private nonprofit colleges and universities and our more than 61,000 students are pleased to sponsor this debate between the major candidates for the U.S. Senate. To be competitive in the global knowledge economy, Wisconsin needs to expand educational opportunity. This is our mission at the association. We also believe that good government depends upon an informed and educated public, and that a debate can and should be educational.
AARP Wisconsin has over 800,000 members in the state and over 37 million members nationwide. And we are pleased to join in sponsoring this 2012 U.S. Senate debate. AARP has a 25-year history of nonpartisan voter education and voter engagement. We appreciate you joining us this evening, and please visit www.earntosay.org to find even more information about candidates and the issues this election season.
At WPS Health Insurance, we've been insuring Wisconsin's health since 1946. In that time, we have seen our society and government face growing challenges, especially in health care and health insurance. Like Rolf and Sam, we hope that our sponsorship of this U.S. Senate debate will help you gain a better understanding of how each of these candidates would represent us and govern our nation. So please join us in watching the debate and in thinking about the future. Then make your voice heard by voting on Tuesday, November 6th.
The format for tonight's debate will allow for each candidate to make an opening statement, to respond to questions from a panel of reporters, and finally for each candidate to make a closing statement. The order of responses has been previously decided by a coin flip. Our panelists this evening include Robert Kennedy, News Director WTAQ Radio Green Bay, Lisa Patro, News Director WQOW-TV Eau Claire, and John Quarterer, News Director WJFW-TV Rhinelander. We will begin with 1.5 minute opening statements. Representative Baldwin, your opening statement.
Thank you for this opportunity. Over the last year, I've traveled this great state, meeting with people who are working hard, playing by the rules, and trying to get ahead. Unfortunately, for so many, it's been harder and harder just to get by. And what's changed hasn't been our work ethic, it's been the rules. You know, today in Washington, big, powerful interests, the ones with a whole lot of money and the best lobbyists, get to write their own rules. And there's too many politicians who are eager to help them. People feel that Washington isn't listening to the struggles of middle-class families. And that's why Wisconsin needs a senator who will. I've spent my time in Washington being a voice for the struggles of middle-class families and standing up to powerful interests like Wall Street, big oil, and the big health insurance companies. My opponent spent his time in Washington helping these same powerful interests. I have taken on powerful interests on behalf of ordinary citizens. My opponent has taken on powerful special interests as clients. So ask yourself tonight, who is better to represent the middle class?
Thank you. Your opening statement, Governor Thompson.
Well, first off, let me just thank everybody for being involved and thank you for putting this on. I'm Tommy Thompson. I was governor of this great state for 14 years. While I was governor of this great state, we cut taxes 91 times. We reformed welfare and gave people an opportunity to work. We reformed the health care and built the best health care possible for poor, middle-income, and people all over the state. It was acknowledged as the best health care in the country. I also was able to be the architect for Part D for Medicare people so seniors were able to get drugs. I also, with my wife, who's with me tonight, started a women's health foundation. She and her and my daughter, Tommy, have set up a health care foundation for the people of the state of Wisconsin, for the women of Wisconsin. I've always tried to do what was right for Wisconsin, and I think we've been successful. I've lived my whole life with my family in Wisconsin, and we were able to create 742,000 jobs while I was governor. I was a reformer. My opponent is ranked as the number one liberal in the United States House of Representatives. That's a pretty hard ranking to get to when you know that she is the number one spender in the House of Representatives. It's just difficult to be able, with all those spenders, to be number one. And she has been able to succeed in that capacity. I've always done what was right for Wisconsin and always will. I need your help, and I hope that you will support me for the United States Senate.
Thank you. Our first question will be from Robert Kennedy, first for Governor Thompson.
Governor, good evening.
Good evening, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. You know, a lot of people in Wisconsin have come to the state since your time as governor, maybe aren't as familiar with you as others.
Right.
Perhaps the representative from her district isn't as well known around the rest of the state. So a lot of the people who are finding out about you now are through the campaign ads that they see and hear on the radio and TV. Mm. And some of them are pretty hard against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like you to tell me what you think is the biggest or most gross inaccuracy or perhaps outright lie in an ad that your opponent is running against you or an organization that's siding with your opponent and paying for those ads.
Well, my opponent started out the day after the primary, and she spent millions of dollars with her and her left-wing liberal individuals in Washington to try and tear me down. She doesn't have a record to run on, so all she can do is try and get the people of the state of Wisconsin not to like me. But the truth of the matter is 90% of the people know me as Tommy, not as Mr. Thompson, not as governor, not as secretary, but as Tommy. My wife and my children have lived their whole life in the state of Wisconsin, and they're trying to make it out that I no longer belong to Wisconsin. I farm in Wisconsin. I run the family farm. My wife and daughter runs a women's health foundation in the state of Wisconsin, and we have never left Wisconsin. We never will. We believe so much in this state, and I've done so much to make Wisconsin the best that it possibly can be. And, you know, I've run positive ads until finally I have to defend myself, and I think that's a mistake.
Representative Baldwin, same question. Misleading ad against you.
Well, I think it's very similar to what we just heard in my opponent's opening statement. You know, sometimes the definitions that we think we associate with words like liberal and conservative, the name calling, it just gets kind of crazy. I look at how we got into the fiscal mess that we're in right now as a nation. And during the Bush years, we had two unfunded tax cuts, two unfunded wars, and an enormous unfunded Medicare Part D benefit in which my opponent gave a sweetheart deal to the drug companies that made it illegal for Medicare to bargain for better prices for seniors. That's, by my quick math, about $3.5 trillion unfunded on the credit cards, debt to our children and grandchildren, and they call that a conservative? The words have lost their meaning.
Our second question will be from Lisa Petro and will be directed first to Representative Baldwin.
Congresswoman Baldwin, before the end of the year and before either of you is sworn in as a U.S. Senator, the nation faces the expiration of the Bush-era tax cuts, also the 2% payroll deduction. It also faces forced spending cuts of $100 billion unless Congress and President Obama do something about it. This has been called the cliff effect, and leading up to what you might do next session, do you think those cuts should be allowed to expire and the $100 billion in spending cuts to be allowed to happen? If not, how would you modify those plans?
Well, the fiscal cliff, as they call it, is a very serious issue, and it is a result of partisan impasse and gridlock where too many in Washington put the interests of their party over the interests of the people. Sequestration, as it's called, is indiscriminate and arbitrary across the board's cuts, and it would devastate our economy, and it's not the right prescription. I support the president's plan, which is a balanced approach. It recognizes that we have twin challenges facing us, the need to reduce our debt and the need to energize our economy, and that we can't have a set of solutions to one that jeopardizes our ability to tackle the other. So I think with investments in education and research that grow our economy, middle class and small business tax cuts, that's the solution.
Governor Thompson?
We are headed for a recession unless we do something. Congress, my opponent's been in Congress for 14 years. Since she's been in Congress, the debt has gone from $6 trillion to $16 trillion, $10 trillion. And she's voted for a lot of those spending programs. In fact, she introduced legislation to increase the spending with the Progressive Caucus. And she's voted for 100 and some tax increases. My opponent is a taxer and a spender. But the question was, what are we going to do in January? We have got to make sure that we address the taxes. We can no longer afford to allow for these taxes to come into play in January or the sequestration. Because if both happen, the CBO has said that we are going to end up in a recession. I don't think anybody wants to have a recession. But isn't it sad that Congress, and all the time she's where, are waiting now until January to solve the problem of America? I'm going to solve it day one. That's why I'm running.
Our third question is from John Quarterer, directed first to Governor Thompson.
Governor Thompson, beyond the cliff effect,
yes.
We have a $16 trillion debt,
mm-hmm.
Increasing at about $1 trillion a year. The notion that some say we cannot levy any more taxes, you signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge, Grover Norquist's pledge, and Congresswoman Baldwin, you have said that you like the Buffett rule and have co-sponsored that, which means taxing rich people more. But you're not going to be able to tax them enough more to get back $16 million. Can we really solve this problem, this $16 trillion debt problem, without any new taxes?
Yes, we can. But you got to be determined, and you've got to be able to do what I would want to do. I had the same problem when I came in as governor of the state of Wisconsin, John. We were in debt, and I came in, and with Democrats in control of both houses of the legislature, cut taxes 91 times. We reformed the spending in the legislature in the state, and we were able to create 742,000 jobs. The biggest increase in jobs ever in the history of our state. We turn the state around. I can do the same thing at the federal level. What do we have to do? We have to put in a balanced budget amendment, and then we've got to request that every federal agency comes in with a 5% reduction from what they got the previous year, and give the secretaries the opportunity to be able to get rid of programs that don't work. Nobody in Washington ever gets rid of anything. But if you would give the secretaries who run the departments the opportunity to cut back with 5% and get rid of programs, you will see the federal government, just like the state did, run more efficiently and better.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you. Well, first let me talk about what I would cut in order to grapple with our deficit and our debt. I'd end the war. I'd work to end the war in Afghanistan, which costs us $2 billion a week. I would get rid of the sweetheart deal that Tommy Thompson negotiated when he was head of Medicare that allows, that makes it illegal for drug companies to bargain with, or the Medicare to bargain with drug companies for better prices for seniors. That one costs us $15 billion per year. I'd get rid of corporate welfare for big corporate farms and big oil. And I'd also let the Bush tax cuts for the top 2% expire. But I also want to look at the record contrast. I already told you about the policies that Tommy Thompson supported that added over $3.5 trillion to the debt when President Bush was in office. I opposed those irresponsible plans that added to our debt. So now, in the future, Tommy Thompson supports a plan that adds trillions more in tax cuts for the very wealthy and raises taxes on the middle class. That's the wrong prescription for tackling our debt.
Our next question is from Robert Kennedy, directed first to Representative Baldwin.
Representative, good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to ask you about tax deductions. What sort of tax deductions might you be looking at for closing up, eliminating altogether things like tuition or childcare, that type of thing? What do you have in mind for that?
Well, I do think that we have a tax system that is very unfair. It's like there's two sets of rules of the road, one for the well-off and well-connected, and another set for the rest of us. And it's happened over a long course of having powerful interests have too much power in Washington and a legion of lobbyists to write special privileges. One of the first two of the things that I would go after right away, one is the set of deductions and loopholes that encourage outsourcing of U.S. jobs. And an important one is the very deduction that allows folks to move personnel and equipment overseas and write it off as a business expense. Another very important one has to do with a rule called carried interest, whereby hedge fund managers can get their compensation taxed at the 15% level. That's why we see our presidential candidate on the Republican side paying such low taxes. These are wrong. We ought to get rid of them to be fair for America.
Governor Thompson.
It's always amazing for me to listen to somebody that blames somebody that's not even in Congress for all the problems of Congress. I was back in La Crosse, Wisconsin, creating jobs at LHI when my opponent was in Washington spending and taxing to such a degree. What we have to do is we have to balance the budget, and we have to request every department to come in at 5% below what they got the previous year, just like I did at the state level. If you want to balance the budget, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. What she's talking about is always trying to find a way to tax somebody else and divide up the classes in America. I'm a builder. I built Wisconsin. When I was governor, we cut taxes 91 times. We cut income taxes. We cut the property taxes, the inheritance taxes, the gift taxes, and we created 742,000 jobs. That's what we did in Wisconsin. What they did in Washington, they've got 23 million people unemployed and underemployed. That's their accomplishment. Complete difference of philosophy and direction between my opponent and myself.
Our next question is from Lisa Patro, directed first to Governor Thompson.
Well, this might be something we can all agree on, that the approval rating for Congress really can't get much worse than it is right now. The lack of productivity probably wouldn't fly for most of us in our jobs, and I think many Americans believe something has to change about the way Congress operates. So to that, do you believe that any changes to the structure, for example, term limits or the operational procedures like the 60% filibuster rule in the Senate, do you think any of those changes should be made? And if so, please name them specifically.
Well, Lisa, first off, what you got to do is you got to be able to sit down and talk. When I was governor, the Democrats controlled the legislature in both houses for 12 and a half out of my 14 years. We accomplished great things. Why? Because I sat down with the other side. We reached an agreement. We cut taxes. We changed welfare, giving people hope and opportunity. We built Wisconsin. And what happens in Washington? Everybody, my opponent is so far to the extreme, even her party doesn't pass any of her legislation because she is so far out there. She's not in the mainstream. And what we have to do is we've got to be willing to talk, willing to discuss, and willing to reach an agreement. The 60% rule in the U.S. Senate should be done away with. Being able to put a cloture vote in, being able to put a mark in so that somebody doesn't get approved, Those are yesterday's procedures. All of those procedures in the United States Senate should be modernized so that 52%, 51%, 50% of the people in the Senate can make policy and move this country forward.
Representative Baldwin?
I certainly agree that Congress has gotten too partisan and certainly has lost its civility, and I find that regrettable. I have always had great success in reaching across the party aisle and getting things done, both in my time in the state legislature and my time in the Congress. Some may not believe that Tommy Thompson once signed into law a Tammy Baldwin Scott Walker bill. In Congress, I've worked to advance disability legislation for blinded veterans with Republican Congressman, now Senator John Bozeman. I worked with Sue Myrick, a Republican, to pass the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program, which George W. Bush signed into law, and with Mary Bono Mack to pass the Christopher and Dana Reeve Spinal Paralysis Act, which President Obama signed into law. But I agree that there ought to be rule reform in the U.S. Senate. And I also think that members of Congress shouldn't get paid if they don't pass a budget.
Our next question will be from John Quarter, directed first to Representative Baldwin.
Representative Baldwin, the population projections for Wisconsin are fascinating to look at. It says that by 2035, there's going to be 1.5 million people like me who will be 65 or older. And that's twice as many as we had in this state in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. What do you think that Social Security is going to look like for them, given the fact that they have been contributing to it for their entire working lives?
Now, I was raised by my grandparents. I am so lucky that they were there for me when I needed them. But it also meant that I was exposed at a much younger age to the value of both Medicare and Social Security. They provided economic security to my family. I believe that they're not just programs, but they're promises, and promises that we must keep. A few years back, President Bush announced a plan to privatize Social Security. And I think about the financial tumult that our country has just gone through, and what would have happened to those resources had we invested them in the markets. We need to make sure that Medicare and Social Security remain bedrock foundations. Social Security is not contributing to our debt. We should leave it alone and make the appropriate changes to keep its solvency for years and generations to come.
Governor Thompson?
It's a very good question, John. Medicare doesn't start going broke until 2036. We got some time to fix it. Medicare, on the other hand, is going to go bankrupt by the year 2022. And you know something? We got to maintain Social Security. We got to maintain Medicare. But isn't it amazing to me and surprising? Why I want to run so bad is I want to fix the problems. My opponent has been in Congress for 14 years. Has she ever introduced any legislation to fix Social Security? No. Has she ever put any legislation to fix Medicare? No. Has any Democrat ever put any legislation to fix Medicare or Social Security? They're going to stand around and wait till it goes broke. I want you, John, to be able to be ensured that you're going to have Social Security. That's why I'm running. I want to make sure that you and all the seniors of America are going to be able to have that safety net. The same way I'm running because of the children and grandchildren in this state so that they can inherit a country stronger, freer, fairer, and safer with a future that right now is in crisis. Nobody solves the problem. I will. That's why I'm running.
Our next question is from Robert Kennedy, directed first to Governor Thompson.
Governor, affordable health care or Obamacare, certainly a big issue during this campaign all across the country. You've been tagged by President Obama as being a supporter of the Affordable Care Act, and the representative voted for it in Congress. As we stand here today, or sit here today, your thoughts on that? I mean, are there portions of it that you think are viable that should stay? Should it be repealed altogether? And what areas should we keep if you think there are parts of it that are worth saving?
Well, number one, I'm the one that started Badger Care. I started Senior Care. I changed health care in Wisconsin. when I was Secretary of Health and Human Services, I was the architect of Part D that's going to allow seniors to have drugs and be able to purchase those drugs. My opponent doesn't believe Obamacare goes far enough. She would like to have a single payer, a government takeover. What I want, Bob, is I want a healthcare system that's affordable and accessible. Number one, let's base it on quality. Number two, let's allow individuals to be able to purchase health insurance over the internet and be able to put in what they want in there. Number three, let's do away with the liability problem so doctors have got to practice, you know, defensive medicine. Let's make sure that 18% of the cost of healthcare, which goes in the paperwork, we require insurance companies to have only one form in Medicare, save money. 1% of the population uses up 20% of the cost. Let's make sure they're taken care of and be able to have managed care. We could change this. We can make health care affordable and accessible, and Obamacare doesn't do that.
Representative Baldwin?
You know, the last thing we need moving forward is to have Tommy Thompson and others rip up the Affordable Care Act, throw it out, and have more years of partisan bickering over this. It is high time that we pull together across the party aisle and put this into full effect and make it work for America and Wisconsinites. Now, the effect of Tommy Thompson ripping up this health care law is very concerning to so many who have already benefited and people who know they will. Young people are now on their parents' health insurance up to age 26. I was in a classroom at UW Oshkosh the other day, and I asked the students to raise their hands if they were covered by their parents' insurance. Two-thirds of the room shot their hands up, and I'm particularly proud of that because I drafted that particular provision in committee. But people, parents with children with pre-existing conditions now know they can get insurance coverage. People who are on Medicare now get free preventative care. He would throw all of that out, and that's irresponsible.
Our next, Robert, you have a follow-up question?
I do. Governor, just so we're clear, there is nothing in the Affordable Care Act right now that's worth maintaining.
No. What you? Right now, the Affordable Care Act has 20 taxes increased. We got to do away with the Affordable Care Act, and then we can put in things like making sure that the individuals are going to be able to be covered. Pre-existing illness can be taken care of. Individuals are going to be able to have control over their health care and be able to buy a contract. My opponent wants the government to control it. I want you, the individual, and the state government to be able to determine who is going to be able to be the arbitrators and the referees of health care. Huge difference. Do you want the federal government to make a determination who your doctor and hospital is, or do you want the state and the individual? I'm with the state and the individual. My opponent wants the federal government. Huge, diametrically opposed, and that's what it's all about. But there are things in there like wellness and prevention, Bob, that I drafted when I was secretary that are in the Affordable Care Act that absolutely need to be maintained. Chronic illnesses is something I started when I was Secretary of Health. That's got to be maintained and be able to continue.
Representative Baldwin.
Well, the last statement about government intrusion and doctor selection is just absurd. The Affordable Care Act, when fully implemented, will set up state-based private health insurance exchanges, and people will get help getting full coverage. But what I want to answer is the question, he was asked if there's anything he likes in the bill. How about something that I don't like that was in the bill? And that is that it maintains the sweetheart deal that Tommy Thompson cut with the drug companies when it became illegal for Medicare to bargain for better drug prices for seniors. I'd get rid of that.
Our next question is from Lisa Patro, directed first to Representative Baldwin.
So let's talk a little bit more about Medicare. It's certainly a program that seniors have come to rely on. It's also a program that, if modified, could actually save the federal budget a lot of money. Vice President candidate Paul Ryan has a plan to kind of turn it into a voucher type program. I guess I'd like to hear specifically each of your visions for the future of Medicare.
Well, thank you for that question, Lisa. I've already mentioned the fact that I got to see the difference that Medicare makes in people's lives at a much earlier age than most do, because I was raised by my grandparents and my grandmother was on Medicare by the time I was in my late teens. This is something that I regard as more than a program, but a promise, and one that we must keep. My opponent supports a plan to end Medicare as we know it, to instead give seniors vouchers that outside nonpartisan analysts have said will increase out-of-pocket expenses for seniors over the first decade up to $6,000. And I know very few Wisconsin seniors who can afford that sort of burden. We need to continue the reforms in Medicare that we implemented in the Affordable Care Act that has extended the solvency of the program by nearly a decade. We need to do more of that.
Governor Thompson.
You know, it's amazing to me that she even has the audacity to say that I did this when I'm not even in Congress. I'm a private sector. I believe what needs to be done is we got to protect Medicare. But all the years that my opponent's been in Washington, 14 years, she's never introduced one bill to save Medicare. All she does is blame somebody else. She wants to tear down and criticize. I want to fix Medicare. I want to make sure that the seniors in America and Wisconsin are going to have coverage. And I want to make sure we do it in the right way. Medicare goes broke in the year 2022. It is $42 trillion in debt right now. And there's no way that it's going to be able to continue unless we modify it and change it. I believe that Ron Wyden, a Democrat, and Paul Ryan, a Republican, have got the first step. But I would go further. I would put Medicare after and before it goes broke and allow seniors and all those individuals to be able to continue to be covered by Medicare, but after that, be able to be put into the federal health program the same way that she gets her health insurance right now. If it's good enough for the Congress, why isn't it good enough for the seniors? That's a difference. It's not a voucher program. It's allowing the seniors to have continuation of health care.
Thank you, Governor. Our next question is from John Quarterer. First to Governor Thompson.
I'm certain that you saw Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu holding up his cartoon bomb in the UN earlier this week. Kind of disturbing to a lot of Americans, I'm sure, but Israel says that if Iran moves closer to building nuclear weapons, it's going to do what it sees fit to protect itself.
Right.
And our policy over the years would indicate that the U.S. would respond militarily if Israel asked us. Is keeping Iran from becoming a nation with nuclear weapons worth putting U.S. troops in harm's way?
It is necessary to prevent Iran and Ahmadinejad, who is an individual that is somewhat mentally impaired, who believes that the Holocaust never existed, believes that Israel should be destroyed, and has threatened America that they're going to blockade the Gulf of Hormuz, which would block all the oil going worldwide and would enter us into a world depression. Sooner or later, unless we draw the red line that Benjamin Netanyahu wants, we're going to have the problem of Iran having a nuclear bomb. We cannot afford that. It will end up in a world war, so we got to stop them. My opponent in 2006, 2009, and 2010 voted against the sanctions of Iran. Only now, 3 months before the election, she's now for them. And I believe that it's time for us to draw the red line and say, no more, Ahmadinejad. We are going to stop, and you are not going to have a nuclear bomb. We cannot afford to allow that individual and that country to have a nuclear bomb.
Representative Baldwin.
Iran's nuclear ambitions are a threat to the United States, a threat to the region, a threat to our allies, including Israel, and especially Israel, for which it is an existential threat. It's a threat I take very seriously. Iran must not become capable of creating a nuclear weapon. I support the president who has said that all options remain on the table. And I believe this is an area where we have to stand united as Americans on this foreign policy. I have voted for tough and biting sanctions against Iran and believe that that process needs to continue to play itself out. All options on the table, but I also would never frivolously, not quite the right word, I would never, without thoughtful plans, send our men and women into harm's way without an exit strategy and assurance that we are going to be effective.
Our next question is from Robert Kennedy, directed first to Representative Baldwin.
Representative, the situation in Afghanistan, American troops being killed by the people that they're training to provide security for their country. Some of those training missions now have been put on hold, at least temporarily. How in your opinion, should Americans continue to be at risk in that environment? Is it too unstable of an environment for a productive security exercise to continue? And your thoughts on that?
Well, I appreciate that question. In 2001, I voted to authorize use of military force in Afghanistan in the days and months following the 9/11 attacks on the United States. It was a very clear and focused mission to go after those who planned and executed that attack. And I believe that our brave men and women who went to Afghanistan very capably fulfilled that mission, frankly, in fairly short order. I was in Afghanistan in August of 2010 in Kabul and at Bagram Air Force Base. I met with Wisconsin soldiers and folks in the military from the senior ranks to the those coming back from forward operating bases. You would be so proud of those men and women. But the mission today, this nation-building mission, is not the one that was authorized. And it is now time for them to come home.
Governor Thompson.
My opponent just, I think, misstated. She said she voted for the sanctions and against Iran. She voted against the sanctions in 2006, 2009, and 2010. And in August, she voted for them because she was running for the United States Senate. Complete change of heart. In regards to Afghanistan, ladies and gentlemen, I got my training from Colin Powell. He always taught me this. He says, Tommy, he says, if we're going to go to war, have a plan and have a reason to go to war. Number two, make sure that if you go into war, you have the necessary firepower to win overwhelmingly. And number three, have an exit strategy. We do not have the desire to win, and we do not have an exit strategy. We should now get out of Afghanistan. I've been to Afghanistan four times. I built a hospital, Rabia Baki, for women and children in Kabul. And I opened it up over Easter in 2004. And it was one of those humanitarian things that I've been involved in. But we need to get out of Afghanistan now.
Robert?
Just follow-up? Yes, thank you. A quick follow-up. Is there, for the record then, is there no useful purpose for U.S. troops to be in Afghanistan, Representative, in your opinion?
30 seconds.
At this point, we are there engaged in war. The mission, I believe, has been completed and completed successfully in short order. The nation building, the building of hospitals in Afghanistan, when we have nation building needs at home, is not sufficient reason, and we need to bring our troops home.
Our next question is from Lisa Patro, directed first to Governor Thompson.
Thank you.
Middle East oil is a major reason that U.S. lives are put at stake in that region. And so, bringing it home, I would like to know your thoughts on developing more energy alternatives in this country, offshore drilling, pulling oil from federal lands, that sort of thing.
When I was secretary, I went up to Anwar, up in Alaska. I had to go up there to take care of the Alaska natives, went up there. And I found out that the area that they want to drill in Anwar is about 2,000 acres and 30,000 square miles. It's like putting a postage stamp on a football field. We can drill and drill correctly. They say, well, the caribou walk through. The caribou are smart enough to walk around. The environmentalists may not be, but the caribou are. We can drill up there effectively, bring that oil down to America. The Keystone Pipeline, which my opponent is opposed to, as well as the president. I've been up there. Alberta has got more tar sands oil than we need in America for the next 25 years. And all they want to do is build a pipeline down through the Dakotas, down to Houston to refine the gas. We could do that. We got natural gas. We produce more natural gas in Saudi Arabia. I am fed up of sending money to OPEC that uses money against America. I want us to become energy independent, and we can do it by drilling natural gas and building the pipeline.
Representative Baldwin.
certainly becoming energy independent of Mideast oil is necessary for our economy as well as our national security. And so I think we have to have an all-hands-on-deck approach to this. I think we can do a lot by, well, first of all, in terms of domestic extraction, having a use-it-or-lose-it policy. You know, Tommy talks about opening up Anwar for drilling when it would only produce a six-month supply. And we have oil companies right now that are sitting on leases for years and years and not using them. Use it or lose it. We can do a lot more with efficiency. We can do a lot more also with new energy and homegrown energy. There's so much happening in Wisconsin and the Midwest that's creating new jobs. That's the direction that we need to go in.
Our next question is from John Quarterer, directed first to Representative Baldwin.
There are probably some people watching us who are out of work, or others who are watching us who used to have jobs that paid better. In a lot of ways, I think this election is about jobs. It's all, you've just been talking on about every answer. President Obama has indicated that he believes that the public sector can create jobs and help the economy. His opponent says that by helping the private sector, they will create jobs and help the economy. Where do you stand on the public sector creating jobs?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, Representative Baldwin, you're first.
Well, thank you. That is the critical question in this election. People are going to vote based on who has the plans to get our economy moving again, to get better jobs. I believe that the government can do things to foster private sector job development. And let me just talk about the basic investments that we need to protect in order to do that. It's education, it's research and innovation, it's infrastructure. And unfortunately, my opponent is supporting a budget plan that, because he's giving such huge tax breaks to the very wealthy and raising taxes on middle class and small businesses, they are slashing those very investments that I think are essential to our growth. The other thing that I think is important is, in Wisconsin, we make things. Manufacturing is part of the backbone of this state. And I have a manufacturing agenda that doesn't cost much money at all, if any, but are the right policies to get us growing and making things again.
Governor Thompson?
When you don't have a record, you attack the other person. I'm not in Congress. You are. I'm in the private sector creating jobs. And I want you to look at what I did as governor. As governor, I was governor for 14 years. We had high unemployment when I came in. I cut taxes 91 times. We grew this state by 742,000 jobs. We went down to unemployment below 2%. I'm a reformer. I get things done. I don't criticize the other side. I make sure things happen. In regards to what's going on, my opponent and Barack Obama, they want to increase food stamps and unemployment. I want to cut taxes. I want to get the individuals going. I want the private sector to create jobs and opportunities. There's plenty of money available for individuals to put into the marketplace. They're afraid because they don't know the direction of this election is going to go. I am confident we can do better in America, like I did as governor of Wisconsin.
Our next question is from Robert Kennedy, directed first to Governor Thompson.
Governor, I want to talk about a social issue, abortion specifically.
Yes.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what your limits on abortion, if any, would be, and
sure,
and as how much federal dollars need to be spent on that?
I've always been and will always be pro-life. I do have exclusions for the life of the mother on rape and incest, but I am pro-life and always have been and always will be, and I believe that's the correct policy. I believe that's what is needed in America today.
Representative Baldwin?
I support the decision in Roe versus Wade, and also believe, as a majority of Wisconsinites do, that abortion should be rare and safe. I understand this is a very difficult topic. It's wrenching for some to grapple with it. But I think that important life decisions have to be left to women, in consultation with their families, doctor, clergy. These are difficult issues, but part of the question was what sort of dollars should be involved at the federal level. And as we debated the health care law, there have been certainties that there will be no taxpayer dollars spent on the abortion procedure.
Follow-up?
Yeah, quick follow-up, Governor. Kind of staying with the social issue theme, same-sex marriage. Some states are allowing, some are having civil unions in place of that. What's your stand on that?
71 out of the 72 counties voted for a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin, and I support those 71 counties same-sex marriage is not legal in the state of Wisconsin, and I support that. It's an issue that's left up for the states, and that's where it should be.
Representative Baldwin?
I believe in principles of equality, and I certainly support marriage equality. I recognize what the voters of Wisconsin decided back in 2006. We know that every year people are thinking about this issue and changing their minds. I was very moved when I saw the president's interview in which he talked about his journey to support marriage equality. He talked about the parents of his daughter's friends. He talked about meeting soldiers serving our country. He talked about all of the conversations along the way that got him to change his mind. I think that's what's happening across America.
Your time has expired, Representative Baldwin. Our next question is from Lisa Patro, directed first to Representative Baldwin.
My next question focuses on the environment, and a new study that came out said that the Asian carp could infest all five of the Great Lakes within just 20 years. What do you feel the federal government can do, and particularly you as a U.S. senator, to help avert a disaster?
Oh,
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you. Well, invasive species are a particular threat to the waters that we cherish so much. And in particular, there's great concern that Asian carp, especially entering the Lake Michigan through the area in Chicago, is going to present a threat. I think that we have to foster cooperation between the Great Lakes states. Unfortunately, we've had a little trouble on this one with Illinois' cooperation, but that's how we're going to do this, only if we work together. You know, if Wisconsin moves forward or Michigan moves forward but Illinois doesn't, we're going to have issues. So the Great Lakes Compact was one that I strongly supported, but we need to have special compacts relating to invasive species that threaten our precious waterways.
Governor Thompson?
I'm absolutely surprised. It's the first time I haven't been blamed for something, or George Bush. The truth of the matter is that we've got to stop it. I mean, there's no dilly-dallying around it. This carp infestation gets into the Great Lakes, it's going to ruin our fisheries. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have got to demand that they seal that and put the wire netting up there and seal that canal as far and as best as we possibly can. We got to convince the Army Corps of Engineers and the Great Lakes governors in the states that this is something that is devastating to our future. The Great Lakes are an important asset for all the Great Lakes states, especially Wisconsin, and we cannot tolerate or allow the Asian carp to get in there. So we have to use the power of the Senate, the Army Corps of the Engineers, the House of Representatives, the presidencies, and all of the commissions in order to stop it. There is no turning back. This is a stake in the ground, and we got to stop it.
We have time for one final question. It will be from John Quarterer, directed first to Governor Thompson. And I'm sorry, but I'd have to ask you to limit your response to 30 seconds.
Well, that's not fair.
Early in the Obama administration, the Senate Republican leader said that the single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president. almost indicating that he would get no cooperation and no compromise from the opposing party. If the president we elect in November is not of your party, and you do win the Senate seat, to what extent will you adopt that approach to thwart the president's agenda or make him look bad?
I'm a reformer. I was governor with the Democrats in control of both houses 12 and a half years out of my 14. I worked with Democrats. I think it is important for us to make sure that we do everything we can do to confront the problems and not postpone them like my opponent has been doing for the last 14 years. We got to confront them. We got to solve the problems. And I'm going to work bipartisanly with anybody that wants to work to solve these problems. That's why I'm running. I do not want us to continue on and debate and tear down, demagogue each other. I want us to solve America's problems and move this country forward.
Representative Baldwin, 30 seconds.
Thank you. I will support the president and commander-in-chief no matter what party that individual belongs to, because we're Americans first. And it's high time that we put the next election and partisanship behind and put the people's business first. But I also think that it's time to stop looking decades past about what my opponent did in the past, in the 70s and 80s. What's important is that he signed a pledge to a Washington, D.C. lobbyist, Grover Norquist, rather than taking a pledge to the Wisconsin people. That's why we have partisan knots in Washington, and it shouldn't be that way.
Thank you. And that concludes the question and answer portion of our debate. Each candidate will now have the opportunity to make a 1.5-minute closing statement. Governor Thompson?
Thank you very much for watching and listening tonight. Our country's in crisis. The reason I'm running, ladies and gentlemen, is because I have 3 great children and 8 grandchildren. I'm running for them and for your children and grandchildren. The country can no longer afford not to confront the problems. My opponent has been in Congress for 14 years. She has become and ranked as the most liberal member in the House of Representatives. She has voted for 150-some tax increases. I cut taxes 91 times. I reform welfare completely so poor people would have a chance to have a job and be able to get ahead in life. I'm a reformer, ladies and gentlemen. My wife and I have worked very hard to do the best for Wisconsin, and we always will. We've lived our whole lives here, and we are concerned about the future generations. I want to make sure that your children and grandchildren out there are going to be able to inherit that country, this country, with stronger, freer, fairer, safer, with more options than what we had. Right now, the direction that's being led with more taxes, more government regulation, a government control of health care, which is being advocated by my opponent, would absolutely ruin the kind of America that all of us want to build. We want to become energy independent and safe. We got to drill, we got to build the pipelines, and we got to create jobs. Cutting taxes and reforming the tax system, we are going to be able to allow businesses to grow and prosper and allow children to have a future that's going to be the best in the world. Thank you very much, and I would appreciate your vote.
Representative Baldwin, your 1.5-minute closing statement.
Thank you, and thank you again for this opportunity. You've had a chance to hear from 2 very different candidates with 2 very different visions for Wisconsin's future. I don't believe that we should have 2 sets of rules, especially in our tax code, and that's why I've introduced the Buffett rule. It says that millionaires and billionaires should have to do their fair share. My opponent is supporting tax cuts, additional trillions of dollars weighted to the very wealthy, and it will increase the middle tax burden by an average of $1,300 per family. And that's not my information, that's the Tax Policy Center. On economic priorities, I think it's important that we have a balanced approach to moving our economy forward as well as paying down our national debt. It's why I believe we should get out of Afghanistan, end corporate subsidies to big oil and corporate farms. It's why we should get rid of Tommy Thompson's sweetheart deal for the drug companies that cost us so dearly. Meanwhile, we have to protect our investments in education and research to help our economy grow. With Medicare, and Social Security, I believe they have to be bedrock guarantees. But Tommy Thompson would voucherize Medicare and eliminate it for our next generation. I'll be a voice for the people, not for the powerful. And if this is what you're looking for in your next U.S. senator, I ask for your vote, and I ask you to join our team.
Thank you. That concludes the debate between Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidates Congressman Tammy Baldwin and former Governor Tommy Thompson. This debate has been sponsored by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation through generous grants from the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities, WPS Health Insurance, and AARP Wisconsin. We thank the candidates, and we thank our panelists. Over 80 Wisconsin radio and television stations have broadcast this debate to ensure that every citizen has had the opportunity to hear and see the major candidates running for the U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. On behalf of Wisconsin's radio and television broadcasters and candidates Tammy Baldwin and Tommy Thompson, thank you for listening and watching.